Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good evening and welcome back to Author Talk. And we have the fabulous Kim Harrell with us today. Happy birthday, Kim.
Thank you. We got my sexy partner on here.
I know she.
Hey, everybody.
Happy birthday, Kim.
Hey, Melissa, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling sexy, Stephanie says.
Yeah,
okay,
she's
girl.
Sexy, child.
I hear, honey. Go ahead, girl. Go ahead on, honey, and do your thing. All right, so, ladies, what we going to talk about? We can talk about anything and everything.
Okay, yeah, today we're talking about publishing. This is the week for the women publishers. Well, I got two more women that's coming on after you. But Black Reading has been publishing for a little bit longer than a lot of people. So you have a history. You also have, like you said, you've been doing it for a while. So people have been asking about how to get their books published. And the best way to do that is by having publishers. Now, Anosha and I, you know, we self-publish. But just because we self-publish don't mean we put other options out there. We want people to have options. So that's why we invited you here. So, Kim, when somebody come up to you and say, I want to publish my book, how do they start with you?
How do they start with me?
Do they send you the manuscript, or how does the process begin?
They start the process with me by talking to me, telling me a little bit about their book, telling me a little bit about the genre, telling me about a little bit about the concept and the storyline, and then they automatically, from that point, go to my website because I don't quote prices. I don't quote prices over the phone. I don't quote prices on email. I don't quote prices in inboxes. I don't quote prices. And the reason why I don't quote prices is because I don't spend as much time on my website as other people do because I have other stuff to do. So I might mess around and quote you the wrong price. Then on down the road, you might find out, I might find out that I quoted you the wrong price. Okay, well, the first thing that's going to come to your mind, because money is involved, the first thing that's going to come to your mind is, oh, she tried to scam me. She tried to overcharge me. Like, no. If you go and you take the information that I provide to you and the information that you have provided me, if you take all of that information and you go to the website yourself and you quote your price and you come back and you tell me what you saw, then you can't accuse me at any point of trying to scam you, trying to rip you off, nothing else. Because let's be real, in this game, as in the publishing game, as in all other games that are being played, once money becomes a part of it, it changes things. It changes the whole, you know, it changes the atmosphere, it changes the tone, it changes everything. So 9 times out of 10, if you can clear the money issue up right off the bat and people realize, okay, this person is not trying to scam me, this person is not trying to use me, this person is not going to try to take advantage of me or whatever the case may be, if you can clear that up right off the bat, then 9 times out of 10, you can have a very, very productive working relationship and working environment. But if you got all of these questions constantly swimming around about money, it's going to hinder every other part of the process. So that's the very first step in my process.
I agree. And Kim, for the people that's listening, what's your website address?
It's blackrainpublishingplus.org. BlackRainPublishingPlus.org BlackRainPublishingPlus.org. That's a mouthful. BlackRainPublishingPlus.org. I mean, that's a mouthful right there. But Black Rain comes from black is my favorite color. And Rain is my daughter's middle name. So okay. That's where Black Rain came from.
Okay, so now that we got the money out the issue, out the way.
Mm-hmm. Got the money out the way.
Once the money's out the way, what's the next step?
The next step is we work on a book cover. And I don't know why, but this is just me. I don't know whether it's just me or whether it's every publisher, every author, or whatever. Because not only am I a publisher, I'm also an author. I have 8 titles, 4 poetry, 4 fiction. To me, the most important thing is your book cover, whether you have finished your book or not. Because your book cover can be used for so many purposes. Your book cover can be used for inspiration and motivation for you, because all of us ladies are authors. We started out as writers first. No matter what we moved on to, we started out as writers. And we know
we get
discouraged. We get what they call writer's block. The characters might stop talking to us. Or at sometimes they're talking to us too much and we can't distinguish one character's voice from another character's voice. Yeah, we all just as loony as we can be. But, you know, and it's just something about when you have that visual, that book cover, and it's got your name on it, it's got the title to your book on it, and you can pull it up on your computer or you can pull it up on your phone or you can go to your Facebook page and boom, it's right there looking at you. It's something about how that will inspire and motivate you on some of your worst days and some of your worst writing days. So that's why after we get the money thing situated, then we're going to move on to the book cover, and we're going to get the book cover put out there, and because you can also use it as a wonderful promotional tool to make people aware of the fact that you are coming out with a book. And that you are an author, and that you got this going on, and you got that going on. So that's the next step in the process is the book cover.
Okay. So we got the book cover going, and now that you got the book cover out, and they're advertising, and all their friends and family know their book coming. What's the next step? They work with you.
The next step is you send me your manuscript. And I have manuscripts sent to me all kinds of ways. I got folks sending me manuscripts, but they done copied and post. They gonna copy and paste it and put it in my email. I got people sending me genuine manuscripts that have been typed up and halfway formatted and done real nicely. And you know, they just send them to me all kinds of ways. But just send me your manuscript. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to publish your book. So. Send me your manuscript. We're going to work it out. We got us an editor. We got a couple of editors, and we're going to work it out. We're going to turn your mess into a masterpiece. So that's the next step. Send me your work.
So you get the manuscript, and then you send it out. You know, you look it over, and then send it to the editor. And after the editor, you know, puts their John whatever on it, then where does it go next?
It comes back to me.
Okay.
It comes back to me because I have to make sure that it's formatted right. Because we're human beings and we're fallible. No manuscript, I don't care how many times it's edited, no manuscript is going to be perfect. But the more eyes that look at it, the more likely you can get as close to perfection as you can get. So it goes from the author to me to the editor, back to the author, back to the editor, then back to me. I'm the last person that sees it. And I look over it, you know, make sure it's formatted right, see if I can catch anything that anybody misses. And then once everybody is satisfied with this final product, then we go to print.
Okay. And Nosha, you got any questions?
I was actually writing down a lot of what you said because, you know what, I'm finding, like I said, I am indie, but I used to be under a publishing company. And I like the process that you take because a lot of publishers today are not taking that same process, especially for editing for authors. Sometimes there are some that don't even get to see their edit work. And then at the same time, the fact that you take your time to actually look at it, that speaks highly of your integrity as a publisher, you know, and also your passion for what you do, because I think you do have to have a passion. I'm not an editor. Not a publisher. I don't think I ever really mm-hmm. want to, because it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're saying, like, it excites me that there are people out there that is doing this.
Yeah, I love what I do. As a matter of fact, I thought my passion was writing until I published the very first book for somebody else. And when I published the very first book for somebody else, the joy and the happiness and the excitement that it brought into that person's life, I was hooked. I have not been able to finish a book of my own since I started publishing, because I love it. I love it. I love to see the life-changing effect it has on people. I have seen people's lives actually changed simply because they hold a book in their hand that has mm-hmm. their name on it and is telling their story. Whether it be fiction, whether it be poetry, whether it be nonfiction, inspiration, autobiographical, however, when they hold it in their hand and they look at it, and they flip through those pages and they read their words, and they can take this and they can show it to other people, and they can put it in libraries, and they can do book signings, and it's a life-changing experience. And to be a part of that, you can't tell me that's not close to being divine. That's not close to some kind of divine experience when you can be a part of changing somebody else's life like that. Now, some people are in it for the money. Don't get me wrong. I like to get paid. I got to eat, too. I got bills to pay. I got, you know, a kid to take care of. So, but, you know, some people are strictly in it for the money. I'm not going to sit here and tell y'all how many books I have published for free.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because somebody came to me and I knew that they had the passion for it. I knew that this book would change their life. I knew that this book would take them to another level. I knew that this woman had been abused, and if she could just get a book in her hand, it would give her the validation that she needed to be stronger, to step out, to do it. It's amazing. For me, it's just that amazing. Don't get me wrong, y'all. There are days when I don't want to look at a book. There are days when I don't want to look at a manuscript. There are days when I don't want to edit anything. There are days when I don't want to do anything but create book covers, logos, flyers, just create. But publishing is that's what I do. That's my purpose.
And you've been doing it for how many years now?
I published my first public book in March of
2013. Okay, so 2 years.
Yeah, so it's been a little over 2 years. I actually started the publishing company for myself in 2012,
mm-hmm.
so that I could publish my own books. But it actually became available for public use in March of 2013.
Okay.
You know, you said I heard you say the word purpose. And let me ask you, what would you tell an author who feels that they have lost their purpose in writing?
Let me see. Because I found another one. Like I said, I thought writing was my passion until I started publishing. So if you love it, and you love it and you love it and you love it, and you lay down and there's stories floating around in your head, you get up, there's stories floating around in your head, you constantly got voices telling you this story and that story, and, you know, you sit down to eat and you find yourself writing out character names and all of this kind of stuff, if you got that kind of passion for it, and you feel like you have lost your purpose, step back for a minute. Just step back from it for a minute, because sometimes we can try to force things. Sometimes it's not your season, which means it may not be your season to write that book. It may be your season to do something else. And we all know, or those of us who know, that things don't flow like they're supposed to flow until they are in their season. When they are in their season, then that's when they flow. So it may not be that you've lost anything. You just may not be in the season for that particular book that you're trying to write. So maybe if you got this huge urban fiction novel rolling around in your head, but you just can't seem to get it on paper, or you just can't seem to get the words to type up right, maybe you need to step away from urban fiction, and maybe you need to write some poetry. Or maybe you need to step away and you just need to write a short story. Or maybe you just need to step away and just write something for fun. And wait till that season comes, because when that season comes, it won't be a struggle. Now, if you writing because you think you finna get rich, or you writing because you think you finna get all of this overnight success and fame, you need to stop now. Because nine times out of ten, it's not going to happen that way. And if it do, you're going to have that one-time hit. Like we see some of these rappers and singles and stuff, they have that one hit and then nothing else. But that's not what you're looking for if you are a true writer. If you are a true writer, what you're looking for is longevity. You're looking to be relevant. You're looking to be able to produce what people want to read on a long-term basis. So if you're doing it for any other reason other than the fact that you just love it, and like I said, when you sleep at night, you're dreaming about stories. When you wake up, what you dream is still on your mind to the point where you can write it down and it makes sense. When you have that kind of passion for it, you don't walk away from it. You just step away from what you're trying to force and do something else that will come naturally. Because once the words start flowing, they'll flow. But what you're trying to make happen won't happen until it's season. Now, does that sound right?
Oh, that sounds really good. I'm taking notes, actually. I love it.
I have one more question for you. Go ahead.
In today's writing game, as you had said earlier, in the writing game, a lot of people are into series or book writing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the ones that come along that don't do the series book, and they find themselves discouraged because they feel as though they can't compete with those people that write the series book.
Mm-hmm.
How do you encourage them to tell them, don't give up? You know, I understand that, you know, your character, someone may say, I fall in love with that one character, but it's okay to go to the next. How do you motivate them?
That full-length novel, complete whole novel that is not looking to turn this into a series, how do I motivate them because they feel like they can't compete?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, what everybody has to understand is, first of all, you have to figure out and you have to find out who your target audience is. Because everybody doesn't like to read the same stuff. Some folk love series. They just love it. Some folks don't. You know, some folks just want to read a book, and when they finish with that book, it's done. But you have to research. See, this is what authors are not doing now. Authors are what new coming authors are not doing is they're putting too much trust in other people to tell them what to do, and they're not researching and finding out what's really going on in the genre that they're writing in or whatever. Okay, if you're writing in a genre where people are doing a whole lot of series, then first of all, you gotta put something out there that's gonna collect their attention. You gotta put something out there that's gonna grab the reader's attention, and they're gonna read your book. Because nine times out of ten, even if you started out as a standalone, if you get enough of feedback from readers, they're going to push you to give them something else. Now, they might not give you to give them a sequel to that book, but they're going to push you to give them something else that's similar. Because now they love your writing style, they love your plot, they love your characters, they love your storyline, they love what you're putting out, and they're going to want more of that. So that's the main thing. You got to know who your audience is. Because, I mean, come on now, we can't sell Christian books to erotic readers. You know what I'm saying? You got to know who your audience is. If you got a book, 9 times out of 10, your erotic, your hardcore erotica readers are not going to want to read this Christian book. Mm-hmm. Vice versa. If you got an erotica book, 9 times out of 10, Christian readers are not going to want to read it. At least not and let the world know they're reading it. Why, I don't know. But, you know, let's be real. So you got to know who you're writing to. Once you know who you're writing to, then you have to study those people. And you have to study what they like. You have to study the trends. Because this series thing has not always been a trend. It's big now, but it may not be big two years from now. So you have to study the trend and see what you know and see how readers are fluctuating and what they're gravitating to and that type of thing. So it requires research. If you're willing to do the research, and then once you do the research, if that audience is the audience that you want to target, even with your standalone book, then maybe you need to get you a couple of them series books and read them and see what it is in those books that are attracting those particular readers. Now, you don't turn around and copy anybody's work, but you make sure what you put out there is just as attractive to them as what they're already attracted to. See, black folk don't read enough. That's why we don't know what's going on from genre to genre, because we don't read enough. We get stuck in one genre and we stay there, and we don't read anything else in any other genre. So then when we get ready to start writing, the only thing that we know is what we've been reading. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's not what you're good at. So if you've just been reading urban fiction but you don't know how to write it, then you can't sell no books over there. Because you don't know how to write it. So you have got to know your own style. You got to know the genre that best suits your writing. And then once you figure that out, then that's the audience that you need to be researching so that you can target those people that are buying the kind of books that you're selling.
That's right.
Did that make any sense?
Oh, that made a lot of sense. That made a lot of sense. Know your genre.
But what you said, Kim, is very important, is what people aren't doing is trying to check out who their target audience is. Most writers do not do that. They don't have a clue.
They don't have a clue who they're writing to. And the main reason why is because they don't have a clue of their own style. Everybody has their own style. Just like if you read some of the old urban street fiction. Now, you might have thought you were getting ready to read the same old story, but they all had a different style. They all had a different catch line. They all had a different way of pulling you in. They all had a different way of developing their characters. So even though you were reading the same genre, each book was totally different. It's not like that now, but in some cases it is. But that's because they knew their style and they stuck with their style. But see, authors nowadays are not taking the time. First of all, not only do you know who you're writing to, you don't know you as a writer. You got to take the time to get to know yourself as a writer.
Very true.
Why are you trying to sit up and write poetry when, first of all, you don't like it? How you going to write something that you don't like?
Thanks.
So you're going to sit up and write poetry, but you don't like poetry. How you gonna write about erotica and you got sex issues? you know what I'm saying? We gotta know us. We gotta know ourselves. And then once we know ourselves, understand ourselves, we understand our own style. We understand what we like to read, what we like to write. Because your passion will always be in what you love. Ain't no passion in something that you don't love. A whole lot of people go to work every day, and they go just to get bills paid. But they don't like their job, so they don't put no passion in it.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got a caller. Hello. Do you want to talk to Kim?
Good evening. How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Is that your mom?
Well, you know, this is a stranger, you know, that just wanted to say happy birthday. This is a hardworking sister that never stops 24 hours, you know. She's always in the lab. And today was a special day. And I didn't call her last night because, you know, I wanted to say the right things because I knew she was coming on this show. I just want to say good evening to another special person who I had the honor to be on her show, okay, another beautiful soul. And so to this station, I give many blessings to, and y'all just keep on doing what you do, author Stephanie White, okay, and to Sister Kim Mara, you know, many blessings. You know, we're talking about a person that had this dream, and, you know, to Eric Rodraven, who turned around and he said, hey, Kim, you can do this. I got to put his name out there, too. And I stuck there with her, Roslyn Cherry, a.k.a. the Cherry Bomb, because, you know, this was the sister that said, hey, I want to try something. And that's what she did. She went from, you know, a person that have all these books, because she's an author, too. A lot of people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And these books, damn it, I got to put that out there. And then she was like, hey, I was thinking about magazines, and she did that. And then from there, she says, well, I'm thinking about poetry magazines. She didn't pursue that, too. And then she turned around, she said, these radio shows, and I had this dream. She says, well, I'm going to give you a radio show. And that radio show went through some dynamic, different types of radio shows that were still coming. Next minute, I was honored to be made a senior manager, okay? Finally, I came on board. And then, like I said, with great shows, and your show, too, author Stephanie White, because you have brought a lot of people to the program. So I'll be telling a lot of people, you walk away as a different person. You know, so make sure you tune into all shows. A lot of people think that it's all about we're trying to be, you know, somebody that we're not, like, success of the show, because we bring in people that have these talents and we see something in their writing. We see something when they take the mic. But most of all, we see authors how hard they work in the grind. And a lot of times, Kim Marvel doesn't like to be on a radio show. So, yeah, I'm calling you out. She's a person who says, hey, I want to listen to somebody else because she's sitting there. She's now doing book covers, okay, BRP original design. Wow, she brings these book covers to life. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But a lot of times, a lot of people don't give her a lot of credit because she's behind the scenes, okay? She's always working 24/7, okay? She's like, oh, I got to put a magazine together. Oh, I got to put a book together. Oh, I got a book cover I got to do. But today is a special day because it's her birthday. So I hope that when she gets off the show, that we can marinate everything and get a chance to read her happy birthdays, you know, and I put it out there, you
right.
know, to other different people. You know what I'm saying? That's a beautiful thing. So I wanted to take the time to come out there and just say happy birthday to you, Sister Kim Marlowe. Smiles and blessings. Today is your day, and we're great. You know, be strong because black sisters are striving out here. All of you are striving. Same thing with you, author Stephanie White. You are striving. And to your book, too, Vengeance, make sure you guys get that book because she's bad like that. See, that's where you're supposed to come in support. See, I'm an author, too, but tonight ain't my night to shine. But I wanted to say that for both of y'all. Just keep striving and doing what you're doing. You understand what I'm saying? God gives gifts to many people. So, Kim Morrow, not only did you have a happy birthday, but God gave you a gift. So smiles and blessings out to you, and that's what I want you to do. Happy birthday to you, okay? And keep on doing what you do. But tonight, you know, enjoy your interview and keep on talking. I'm going to listen, okay? And then feel no tears, okay? And if you do, wait till later on. That's
okay.
What I want you to do.
I don't cry.
Jenny won't cry much. But anyway, right. Kim, we got about 30 seconds, so what do you want to close out telling the listeners?
Anybody that wants me can find me, Kim Mara on Facebook. I'm Kim Black Rain on Twitter. If you got a question, if you need guidance, if you need help with publishing, whatever, just hit us up. You know, we do logos, we do book covers, we do radio shows, we do magazines, we do a little bit of everything. And that's because we want to provide all of these platforms for all of these authors and other artists to shine. We're not worried about shining. We just make sure everybody else can get their shine on.
Man.
That's
and
it.
Kim, it's been a pleasure to have you. That's why I call you a creative genius, because that's what you are. Thank you for
Thank
coming
you.
On the show.
Thank you, ladies, for having me. Anasi, we got to get you back on the show, and Stephanie, you didn't get your interview, so we got to get you back on the show too.
Okay, you got it.
Okay.
Rosalyn, thank you for calling me. All right, thank you, ladies, and I'll put this show in your box, Kim, and when you get a minute, you can listen to it, but I know that won't be no time soon.
All right, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate this, ladies. I really, really do, and it was a joy spending my birthday with y'all.
Thank you,
okay.
And enjoy your birthday.
All right.
Bye.